Today on the Travel and Entertainment Guys.
In the travel news, we tell you which airline is the best for frequent flyer tickets, and a historic bridge is reopening in Orangevale next Saturday.
Mark is on the road in Washington, D.C. this week, and at 3:20, we have some great tips for your next visit to our nation's capital. We will make you a smarter traveler, I guarantee it.
Gwen Duncan is the lady we turn to, and we need the expertise of a travel agent, and she joins us at 3:35 to warn you about hurricane season and suggest you consider it when planning your fall travels.
What's the first thing that starts aching and bothering you when you travel? And not the significant other, perhaps your feet. At 3:50, we bring you physical therapist Mark Eddy to talk about caring for your feet on the road.
It's Sunday afternoon in Sacramento, the perfect time to tune in to the latest edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I got two tickets to Paradise.
To Alaska, they go north to Russia's own.
Happy Memorial Day weekend, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. I'm Tom Romano here in Sacramento. My partner, Mark Hoffman, I'm his partner, actually. We're partners, and he's in Washington, D.C., and we're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I always want you to seem like the more important guy, Mark, because you truly are the official number one travel guy.
Yes, but what people who listen to the program may or may not know is that it's fine to have a guy who knows all about travel, but if you don't have somebody who knows all about radio, the guy who knows all about travel will never be on the air. So.
Yeah. Well, my mom used to say, Tom, you play the radio too loud. I don't know what that means, but.
Well, my mom used to complain that this is back in the 60s. She used to say, how can you possibly listen to a baseball game on the radio and watch one on television at the same time?
Really?
Of course, that only happened on Saturday afternoons because that was the only day of the week that you could have watched a baseball game on television back in the 60s.
Well, a lot of people say, and I'm one of those, and I believe it's true that the radio was made for baseball.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely no question about it. The two of them are a match made in heaven.
Well, speaking of a match made in heaven, Mark on the road is certainly that. And Mark, you're in Washington, D.C. with a group of your super-duper sports leisure vacationers. Are you guys having a good time?
They are. The weather has been really nice. And when we get done with the news, we're going to talk a little bit about perhaps some tips that will help people. Almost everybody visits Washington, D.C. sometime in their travel career, probably more than once. So we have some ideas, some things that may help them when they get back here.
Awesome. And as we always do at the top of the Travel Guys radio show, we bring you up to date on the travel news. Mark, what do you got for us today?
Well, some odds and ends in the travel news department. The Cincinnati Airport is introducing therapy horses to calm travelers. You know how, Tom, some airports have got dogs that you can pet?
Yeah.
30-some-odd American airports have dogs. Well, San Francisco, of course, has a therapy pig. And miniature horses have been brought to the Northern Ohio Airport and to offer service as therapy animals. How about that?
Well, that's something. You know, I was just imagining, you know, when you have a therapy chihuahua jumps up on your lap or a therapy cat jump up in your lap and, well, okay. And, of course,
somebody tries to bring one of the therapy horses on the plane. I'm waiting for that.
Oh,
moment.
Boy. But they are miniature.
Yeah.
So I guess that accounts for something.
Only the size of a Great Dane, certainly. Summer travel forecast, more flyers and more flights. We are going to see about a 4% increase in passenger traffic on the airlines this summer. And the airlines will add about 123,000 extra seats. So all that means is if you've looked at airfares for the summer lately, if you are thinking about traveling this summer and you have not bought your ticket, then you probably really need to seriously think about it, especially if you're traveling before August the 15th. Airfares are not going to get any cheaper. Tourism spending in Oregon has enjoyed its second consecutive year of strong growth. Governor Kate Brown announced that 2016 was the travel industry's second consecutive year of increasing growth. The state travel-related spending throughout the state increased by nearly $500 million last year to a record $11.3 billion. Over 130,000 people are employed in the state of Oregon in the hospitality industry. We mentioned in the headlines that there is a new bridge opening in Orangevale. It is the historic Orangevale Avenue Bridge between Folsom and Orangevale, which actually was part of the old Lincoln Highway. It will reopen this coming Saturday, June the 3rd at 10 a.m. Greenback Lane and American River Canyon Drive. Parking will be available in designated areas on American River Canyon Drive if you would like to attend the ceremonies, the reopening of an old historic bridge in Orangevale. We mentioned in the headlines that we can tell you what airline is best for frequent flyer awards. Tom, any guesses?
I'm going to guess Southwest or United.
I would Southwest. If you guess Southwest, you are correct. Southwest is the only carrier in this study that was done by IdeaWorks. This is their eighth edition of their annual reward seat availability survey. They checked all of the major airlines. Southwest was the only one who had a seat available 100% of the time. Of course, Southwest frequent flyer seats are based on the points that you earn in their frequent flyer program, Rapid Rewards. So if you have the points and the seat is available, then you get it. So that's why Southwest was available 100% of the time. JetBlue at 84, JetBlue at 94, Air Canada at 90, Alaska 81%. Then we fall off to Delta at 74, United 65% of the time. Frequent flyers found the seat they were looking for. And finally, American at the bottom, only 54%. So really what that means is that if you flew on Southwest and you earned a frequent flyer ticket, it was there for you if there was a seat on the plane. If you flew American and you earned a frequent flyer ticket, it was only there roughly half of the time. Something to think about when you're deciding whose program to enroll in. And speaking of programs and enrolling, Hilton and Marriott have gone after the OTA, the online travel agencies. They are really, really after them. They argue that the Priceline Group, which is a series, you know, you go to booking.com or hotels.com, most of those places now are owned, those sites are owned by either Expedia or Priceline, because they account for 93% of the online travel bookings.
Wow.
So Hilton and Marriott are arguing, the American Hotel and Lodging Association, with in conjunction with them, is arguing that this is a duopoly and that these folks are dominating the industry and they're trying to do something about it. Of course, the reason they're trying to do something about it is because they don't like paying commissions to travel agencies, online or other kinds, and so they would love to get out of that. And just a reminder, we do remind folks here to be smarter travelers and consider when you're booking with a brand name, with a chain hotel, to consider booking the hotel room from their website. You will get the best price, and if anything goes wrong, you'll have some ways to be able at least to go back and maybe get some assistance when you have some issue with the hotel.
Mark, I have a quick question and your thoughts on this. You know, if the hotels are not real happy with dealing with these third-party bookings and the problems that they ensue and also having to pay commissions, then why don't they just, you know, we encourage people to book directly with the hotels. Perhaps the hotels direct can find a way to save the consumer a couple of bucks on their bookings.
Well, and that is exactly what's happening, Tom, because if you go to, for example, the Marriott website and you look at a room that's $99, if you're a Marriott Rewards member and you're buying it on the website, then you're probably going to pay $95 or $96. So there's a 2, 3, 4, sometimes 5% discount if you're buying it directly from the hotel chain. And also, the other reason you want to be a member of their frequent traveler program is because in most cases, booking it directly through the the hotel itself and being a member of their frequent flyer program will generally get you free internet. So that's something to think about if you're somebody who's paying for internet service when you're out on the road. American vacation usage, Tom, has risen fairly dramatically. U.S. travel, if you remember, we had Roger Dow on earlier on the program earlier this year, and one of Roger's things as the head of U.S. travel is trying to get people to use the vacation days that they have, because when you don't use your vacation days, folks who work in the travel industry obviously don't see those dollars. So the economy suffers when you don't take your vacations. But last year, it appears for the first time in over a decade, vacation days went up. American workers took an average of 16.8 days of vacation in 2016, which is up from 16.2 the previous year. Like I said, the first time that that number has increased in a year. So maybe Americans are finally letting go. Taking a little bit more time off. Speaking of people who can let go and take a little bit more time off, the rich and famous have their own terminal now at LAX. This is kind of interesting, Tom. It's called the Private Suite. It is an area across the tarmac, a building that's been built. They sell, you can use them on a one-time basis, but you would want to use it as a private, as a membership. The annual memberships are $7,500. What this is for the rich and famous folks who don't want to deal with paparazzi at the airport. They want to pull up to a private terminal, go inside, be taken across the tarmac in a private car and loaded onto the plane in a very private manner. But this is going to cost, and interestingly enough, even TSA security can be cleared in this little building. It's called the Private Suite, and it's only available at Los Angeles International Airport. I might have to get a hold of them and talk to them about that. Of course,
interesting.
Tom, people like you and I could never afford to.
I was writing the check as we speak here, Mark. Okay, continue.
That's only for a year's membership, and but you can bring up to four people with you. So there you go. Finally, one more little note here for those of you who use Lyft as your ride-sharing company. You and you are a member of Delta SkyMiles. You can now earn Delta SkyMiles for your Lyft rides. Of course, you know most Lyft rides are $10, $20, but so it's not going to be a tremendous number of rides. But hey, if you use it when you go to the grocery store, you might as well be getting some miles when you're tootling around town. So Lyft folks can now get Delta SkyMiles. And that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. Follow along at travelguysradio.com. And in about 3 minutes, if you've ever planned to travel to our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., Mark's here to make you a smarter traveler. Next on the Travel Guys.
Welcome back to the Travel Guys on News Radio KFBK. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you here. You can follow along to everything that we have here on the program. Whenever we mention something that has a website or something attached to it, if you go to travelguysradio.com, you will find not only a description of today's show and a list of all of the websites that we mentioned on the show today, but all kinds of interesting information that will help you be a smarter traveler. And you'll find bonus things that we don't mention on the show, like here's a product review for a type of travel dress. And here's something that might be interesting to the ladies. Birth control and time zone changes. How my IUD made me a happier traveler. Not something that Tom and I would know too much about, I don't think, but might be some good travel information for some of our lady travelers out there. So anyway, travelguysradio.com is where you can find all of that information.
Where do you get all this cool stuff? That's what I want to know. Okay.
I'm just always digging.
All right. Way to go. All righty. Mark, you're in Washington, D.C., been there for a few days with a group of sports leisure vacationers. I know that there are a lot of folks, if they haven't already visited the nation's capital, possibly going to be going back a second time. But sooner or later, a lot of us get there. And, you know, I know that you have some tips. So let's tell us what you got.
Well, and Tom, interestingly enough, you know, in our group of travelers that are back here right now, about half of them, and generally the folks who travel with sports leisure are mature travelers. They're folks in their 60s, 70s, 80s. And I would say roughly half of the people in our group this time around have never been sightseeing in our nation's capital before. So while you would think this would be number one, two, three on most people's list, it obviously is one of those places that people just kind of put off for a while. We are here over Memorial Weekend, and you know, there's always something going on in Washington, D.C., it seems like. If Congress isn't in session and the lawmakers are gone and the people who are trying to entice them to support whatever issue it is that is on their mind are not here, why, then there are other places, people who take their place. For example, there will be a big Memorial Day parade here in Washington, D.C. On Monday, and there will be huge crowds for it, and hopefully the weather will hold up. But if you're coming to Washington, D.C., first thing to know, many things in Washington are free. All of the Smithsonian museums are free. Entry into the Capitol and the Capitol Visitor Center and the White House Visitor Center, all free. Many of the museums in this city are free. Now, some of the private ones have a paid entry. The Newseum, which is one that I recommend, is one that you pay to get into. The International Spy Museum, kind of an interesting oddball sort of museum, is another one. But you can go into a session of Congress for free. All you have to do, write your congressman or woman and get a ticket. You can go to the top of the Kennedy Center, the Performing Arts Center here in town, and you can take an elevator up to the top of the Kennedy Center any time of the day or evening when the center is open and enjoy spectacular views of practically the entire city of Washington, D.C., and it is completely free. Tours of the White House are free. There's only one problem with that currently. Our new president has not hired a lot of staff. And so most requests for tours of the White House, including the one for our group, are not either being accepted or denied. They're not being responded to in any way because there's nobody there to respond to them. So if you're looking for a tour of the White House, that may or may be somewhat problematical for right now, but it is another thing. It's free. Things that don't cost much money in Washington, D.C., the subway, just like New York City, the subway is a terrific way to get around in Washington, and it might save you a tremendous amount of money. The reason I say that is because hotels in downtown Washington, D.C., especially when Congress are in session, are incredibly expensive. But hotels across the river in Arlington or in Alexandria in Virginia or in Maryland, a little ways up the road or a little closer to Baltimore, are going to be a lot cheaper. And you don't have to be a long ways from downtown D.C. 15, 20 minutes will do it for you. Now, you're going to have to deal with traffic and stuff, but that's where this other idea of mine comes in. Take the subway. The subway is an excellent, inexpensive way to get around Washington, D.C. You definitely don't want to rent a car in the city because parking would be a disaster. Traffic is a disaster. You want to use your footsies to get around as much as you can. And you want to do your homework. Remember, when Congress and the people who lobby them are not in town, it's a lot less crowded and hotel rates are a lot lower. The key hotel nights in Washington, D.C. when Congress is in session are Tuesday and Wednesday. You definitely want to avoid those nights. If Congress is in session, come on a weekend. You'll find lower hotel rates. And if you're willing to go across the river, for example, we're in Arlington at a Hilton hotel that is very close to, in fact, all I have to do is go downstairs and walk out the hotel. And in the same building are the stairs to the subway station. So it's incredibly convenient, more convenient, I would suggest to you, than a lot of the hotels that are actually in downtown D.C. Restaurants here, a couple of ideas for you. There are lots of great restaurants all over the city, and if you like ethnic food, you are going to find every kind of ethnic food you can imagine. A couple that I like that are local favorites in Georgetown, a wonderful place that Sports Leisure Vacations has been using for almost 30 years now. It's called Philomena, and there's another wonderful spot. We had dinner out down on the waterfront at Georgetown on Saturday night called Tony and Joe's, two places that I can recommend. And finally, Tom, for folks who are coming to Washington, D.C., there's a choice of airports. You can fly into Washington National, which is right just right across the river and very close to downtown Washington, or you can fly into Dulles, which is the hub for United Airlines. The only nonstop flight from Sacramento to the Washington, D.C. area is a nonstop on United to Dulles. The problem with Dulles is you are a full 45 minutes to an hour from town. If you're going to take a cab, it's going to cost you about $60. A Lyft is going to cost, or Uber is going to cost you about $40. There is a subway bus combination that will get you into town. It's going to take a little bit longer, and you've already had a long travel day if you're coming from Sacramento. So that's something to think about. National is a much more convenient, a little bit more expensive. Another alternative is Baltimore. Southwest has a nonstop every day to Baltimore from Sacramento. Hotels in Baltimore are much less expensive. You can take the train from Baltimore to Washington, D.C. The local MARC train is very inexpensive, runs frequently. So there are lots of options that will help you avoid an expensive hotel room, an expensive rental car, and allow you to be able to get around a little easier the next time you come to Washington, D.C.
We're talking with Mark Hoffman. We are the Travel Guys. If you just tuned in, the best way to get around Washington, D.C., if you're going to go visit the nation's capital, he and his group of sports leisure vacationers are there now. Mark, you know, there's a lot of daytime activity in Washington, D.C. That most people are aware of, you know, the museums and such. And I know you and your crew get out in the evenings from time to time. What kind of nighttime activity is there available in Washington?
Glad you asked, Tom. And before we wrap this up here, one of the things that you really want to do in Washington when you come here is allow yourself time. And even if you're not a kind of person who buys a guided tour, an organized tour, consider one of the hop-on, hop-off bus rides and do it in the evening and go around the Capitol, the Washington Monument, the Jefferson, the Lincoln. The World War II Memorial is particularly striking after dark. You really, really want to spend some time. I think seeing the monuments after dark is equally as striking and certainly as moving as seeing them during the daytime.
You have the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, here on KFBK. Coming up, Gwen Duncan's going to join us, talk about booking and traveling during hurricane season. And Mark mentioned something about getting around Washington and on your footsies, doing a lot of walk. A lot of times on vacation, we do a lot of walking. Coming up, a visit with Mark Eddy, physical therapist. Talk about the best way to take care of your feet, what to do when your dog starts bark on vacation. That's next on the Travel Guys. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel Guys. You found us, Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, and we are proudly brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Gwen Duncan, our favorite travel agent, is back with us, and she's got some information that's going to make you a smarter traveler. Gwen.
Hello. Hello there. Thank you for the compliment. Anyway, yes, a lot of people are unaware that hurricane season runs June 1st to November 30th, with the worst months being August and September. And so when planning from the West Coast, this is not top of mind. And it's something you should really consider when you're planning your vacations, cruise or land-based trip to the Caribbean.
Gwen, let me ask you, does travel insurance cover a hurricane? Well, if a hurricane rolls in and your trip can't go, or your plane flight doesn't go or something like that, will travel insurance cover that?
That's a great question, Mark. If it is a named storm, when you're purchasing your trip, insurance will not cover it. It has to, if it's already been named. Now, if you're on your way, you're flying on your way, and for some reason a hurricane shows up, then yes, it is covered. Yes, it's covered. Mm-hmm. But there are certain other things. Your credit cards will cover some things for non-refundable deposits and like that. And the insurance will cover if you have on your way, and you're not even on your way to the Caribbean, but your flight is affected by that, you can request a refund.
I can think of so many funny things to say about insurance covering things that are named and not, and those that are not. You know, I mean, we could
isn't
start
that kind
with
of interesting,
like children.
Isn't that interesting, Tom? Though, if you want insurance,
yeah,
you best get it before they name the storm, because that's, after they name it, why that then it's a big storm and now it's too late. It's very important, I think, for folks to who are traveling to the eastern side of the country, particularly to the southeast, to take this into consideration. We've always said, Gwen, if you're going on a cruise or a big vacation, don't fly in the afternoon before it leaves.
That's right.
Give yourself an extra day. And I would think that that would be great wisdom here. If you're flying from June to late November and you're flying to the southeastern part of the country and you're going to catch a cruise or you're picking up a tour or you've got an international flight or something, you're going on a grand vacation, the vacation of a lifetime, you indeed want to allow yourself that extra day so that if the weather does go bad, you've got just a little bit of a buffer zone. What else can we tell folks if they're stuck in a hurricane zone, Gwen?
That happened to a client once. They insisted on going and staying at a timeshare on St. Thomas, and they wanted to go in the first week of September. Is that crazy? But they went, and I kept warning them, and they were there when the airlines didn't fly for almost a week out of St. Thomas. They got a chance to tour the island, and then they ended up in the bathroom sitting in their tub trying to protect themselves on a fourth story. The vendors helped them a little bit, but the people from the timeshare certainly didn't. But it can really, they knew that it was hurricane season, and they went anyway.
Well, and we as a tour company, we keep this in mind, and we try specifically to avoid that area at during that period. And if we do, you know, our trips to New Orleans and the like go in the springtime. Our trip to Key West goes in January. So the point to all of that would be is do your homework. Yeah, if you're going to one of these places, ask questions. Say, what happens? What is your policy if there is a storm or a hurricane? And ask those questions ahead of time because you're probably going to get widely different answers from different vendors. Some will probably hold you right your feet to the fire, and some will not.
Some of the resorts offer hurricane insurance so that you can book. They want you to book, and then if they have to cancel, they'll let you change the date and not charge you. But those are few and far between. I wanted to mention cruises. Cruises travel during hurricane season, but it's to the discretion of the captain where it goes. I mean, where the cruise goes. So if there's a hurricane, they'll try to beat the storm, or they may not stop at multiple different ports. They may change the entire itinerary. And the people should be aware of that. If you're going on a cruise during hurricane season, you can't be guaranteed you're going to get the ports that you had planned if you even stop at all.
Well, you better make sure you pick a fast ship if you're going to outrun the storm. do you find goes to both Mark and to Gwen, do you find that destinations that during hurricane season and so forth, do they charge less because people want to avoid it? So can you get a better deal if you choose to travel with a risk factor?
They sure do. In fact, if it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true.
Yeah, well, but Gwen, isn't that a sign? If it's too good to be true and it's in the southeast, it's probably hurricane season.
That's right. Well, people said, this is such a great deal. I said, well,
if you're getting that great of a deal, think about first of all, the humidity, even if the hurricane doesn't show up. So consider the possibility that you may be going to some place where the weather isn't all that great anyway. There also are, I strongly recommend to you that if you are traveling to the southeastern part of the country in the second half of the year, which is just about to be upon us, that you do your homework, that you have a plan B, and that you allow yourself a little bit of extra margin so that you don't miss that, because let's face it, sometimes these storms are coming, they make a turn at the last minute, sometimes it turns towards you, sometimes it turns away from you, but regardless, generally, in a day or two, in many areas, you'll be okay.
I did want to make one comment. There are some islands in the Caribbean that aren't approached by the hurricanes. Those are down in the ABC Islands, Aruba, Bonaire, Curacao, the British Virgin Islands. So they've got to really talk to a professional to know which ones are less likely to be affected.
Ah, and you would be one of those professionals, wouldn't you, Gwen Duncan, of Cordially Yours Travel? Yeah, really and truly, it is a good idea if you're traveling at that time of the year. You just have got to do your homework and have a plan B. And it doesn't mean that, you know, it's like people from the East Coast fear coming to California because of earthquakes. Of course, earthquakes don't really have a season. So, but nonetheless, it's something that they talk about all the time. a hurricane is something that in some way, shape, and form you can plan for. Gwen Duncan from Cordially Yours Travel, thank you. There is a link to Gwen and her services. If you need a travel professional, you can find her at travelguysradio.com.
Thank you, guys.
All right, coming up in about 3 minutes, we're going to talk about your feet, especially those that you take with you on those vacations, all right? Physical therapist Mark Eddy joins us next on The Travel Guys.
As we roll down this unfamiliar road.
Mark and Tom, The Travel Guys with you, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And recently I got an email from our buddy Steve LaRosa, who you hear from time to time, who does some what goings on. And Steve brought up to us that he just recently went to a physical therapist to help him out with his feet, so when he traveled, he would be a lot more comfortable, you know. And I think everybody at one time or another had one of those vacations they were about to go on, and for whatever the reason, one or both feet acted up. So with that being said, we've taken the opportunity to invite Steve's physical therapist, if you will, Mark Eddy, to the Travel Guys. Welcome to the program, Mark.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Mark, this is a little different from what we usually do on The Travel Guys, but we are here to make people smarter travelers. And, you know, if your dogs are bothering you, if your dogs are barking and you can't walk very well, or you've got some kind of a foot problem, travel really becomes somewhat problematic. So, Mark, help us understand, what are some of the issues that travelers might have with their feet, and what are some of the remedies that they might look for to resolve them?
We see a lot of clients who take vacations to all different areas of the world, the country, and a lot of them are hiking vacations or, you know, beach vacations. And so you've come across a few different problems that people develop or have prior to that vacation that they're concerned about potentially limiting themselves on that vacation. One of the big ones is plantar fasciitis, and that's a problem in the bottom of the foot. It can be a chronic problem that pain throughout the whole bottom of the foot, and can be resolved pretty easily with some just common things that you can do. You know, good footwear is important. So we often make recommendations on the type of footwear based on the foot structure of the patient. So we evaluate that patient and look at his foot structure. We can make some recommendations as far as footwear is concerned. A lot of times that tissue on the bottom of the foot gets very tight and fibrosed, which case we try to do some tissue massage and loosen up that tissue to give it some better mobility so that it can tolerate, you know, hours or, you know, long walks on any type of surface, whether it's, you know, cobblestone streets in Europe or the beach and the sand, you know, in Hawaii, or, you know, just long walks or hikes even, you know, on inclines. That's probably the most common thing that we see.
Mark, a lot of times people will, like I say, have these issues right before they're ready to go on a vacation, and they probably come to see someone like you and say, well, you know, is it going to cause more damage if I get out there and walk and on vacation? What do you tell them?
Well, I tell them that's a very high possibility that they could have more damage. The first problem that they typically have and they're concerned about is just the pain, and can they actually make it through the vacation successfully and do the things that they want to do. And that's why they're going, to have a good time and enjoy the trip. So pain is a big problem that we see, that we try to help them manage and teach them ways to do it while they're on the trip and before the trip to prevent that from limiting them. The other thing that we try to explain to them, it's not just the feet all the time. It's the entire lower body. 'Cause if you are walking a lot, if you have weakness in your hips or your thighs or your trunk, your feet get the brunt of it. And when they do that, something has to break down. And the feet is the foot is the most common area that it will break down.
We're talking with Mark Eddy, a physical therapist, who is giving us some tips on how to be a smarter traveler in terms of our feet. Mark, what if you're out on a trip and you walk too much? You're a 1 mile walker and you walk 3 miles. You're a 2 mile walker and you walk 5 miles. You get up the next morning and you've got some kind of an issue with your feet. Have you got any recommendations for folks who might run into situations while they're traveling? You know, you get a blister or something like that, and now you're in the middle of a trip. Do you just tough it out, or have you got some ideas?
As far as just, you know, dealing with the symptoms that you may experience on that trip, one of the things that we encourage is a lot of stretching, both before and after those walks. Stretching prevents tightness from developing, so consistent stretching can help you get through those days better. If the pain is really bad, it feels very inflamed to you, pain's just consistent and constant. A lot of times we recommend ice packs or cold packs, some sort of cooling effects to help minimize the inflammation that's going on in the area. We have people take water bottles and freeze them in their freezer while they're on their trip, and then just roll their feet across the frozen water bottle for 5 or 10 minutes each evening. That can help manage their pain quite a bit.
A lot of times people will get recommendations or see things on TV in regards to, you know, orthotics and things to put in their shoes to begin to prevent them from getting, say, a plantar fasciitis or, other foot problems. What are your thoughts on those kind of devices?
I think orthotics are very valuable to a lot of people. You should get evaluated by a podiatrist or a physical therapist to determine if it's the appropriate direction, of course, of treatment. There's things from pre-made and prefabricated orthotics that you can buy over the counter to custom-made orthotics that podiatrists make based on your particular foot. So I think there's a place for those for sure, but you should get evaluated to decide which type is best for you.
Mark, you mentioned in our conversation, our email exchanges, that you have a couple of clients who are preparing to walk the Camino de Santiago in Spain. I know some folks who have walked it. My partner Clayton walked it last couple of years ago. That's 500 miles and takes a couple of months. I'm sure we have somebody listening to this broadcast right now who is considering embarking on something like that in the future. You mentioned that you help prep and condition people for something like that. Do you have a couple of tips that you can give folks who are perhaps preparing for an endeavor of that type?
Yeah, definitely. That is a long, you can take the walk as slow or as quickly as you like, but, generally you're walking at least 15 miles a day, if not more. And so you need to be prepared for that. So you can't just train, month to go do that. So I would plan your training regime, several months in advance, 3 to 6 months in advance at least. I would incorporate, things to build endurance into the whole lower extremity. And that includes, things like treadmills, stairmasters, elliptical machines. Some basic body weight training is appropriate, some general squats or abdominal exercises to strengthen your trunk. If you go to a gym, there's plenty of machines there, from a leg press machine to step-up machines that can help just, again, build strength in those lower extremity muscles. But you want to do it early, and you want to do it, you want to prepare for it. Otherwise, you're going to, have some trouble when you go.
Wow, Tom, this guy really knows his stuff. I wonder if I can fold him up and put him in my suitcase and take him along with me on the road. Mark Eddy, who is a physical therapist, his office is in the Campus Commons area. If you are interested, we will post a link to Mark's office and to him at travelguysradio.com. So if you have any type of a foot problem and you're looking for a little wisdom or perhaps a little therapy, or if you are getting ready to make that giant hike all the way across a country or something like that, or through the Sierra Nevada this summer, why, he might be a guy that we want to check in with. Mark, thank you for joining us on the Travel Guys today. Great information.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks. Anytime.
Well, it would be nice if everybody's feet were perfect and they never hurt, but I hope that information made us all a little smarter about our feet when we travel. Mark, this past week I was trying to put together some loose ends for a vacation to Orlando coming up in October. I know, semi-hurricane season. We talked to Gwen about that a little while ago. And anyway, let's not go there. Here's my question. Based on my family that we're going to hook up with that's traveling from San Antonio to Orlando and us traveling from Sacramento, I was thinking about trying to do something tricky. I was looking at airline flights, and I was thinking about, instead of doing a round trip, have a one-way mm-hmm. to Orlando, and then maybe do kind of a tricky thing where I take a one-way from Orlando to Houston. okay, where I can, you know, ride with my daughter on the plane and get off the plane with her there, and then from there fly one way from Houston to Sacramento. Now, I noticed that the dollars and cents-wise was about the same. Can you share with me what of any negatives or how you feel about doing a couple of one-ways versus the round-trip thing?
I have to share you real quickly, Tom, the story about the lady who thought that she could was traveling with Sports Leisure Vacations a couple of months ago, and she got to Dulles Airport in Washington, D.C. She was on her way to Ireland, and she thought, well, she had a 2-hour and 15-minute layover. She'd just go meet a friend of hers, and they'd have a cup of coffee. But what she didn't think about was that she was out in a terminal way out on the tarmac and had to get all the way into the main terminal and meet her friend and get back through security, and she missed her flight. And the reason bring that up here with what you're talking about is because what you're saying is, you know, fly one airline to a city and then go on and fly another airline or stay on the same airline just on a different ticket.
Right.
But the problem is that when you have one way, you know, kind of hopping between city, like you were going to go Orlando to Houston and then Houston to Sacramento, well, your baggage wouldn't have been able to be checked all the way through. And this happens with a lot of folks sometimes where you get in a situation, think about the fact that you'd have to claim your baggage, go back through security. In your case, the day you were thinking about doing your little hocus pocus was a Sunday. And so we pointed out that on Sunday afternoons, security lines are much more unpredictable. It would be entirely possible to get into a 20 or 30 minute security line. And so if you had a layover and you were trying to claim some bags and stuff, and this is where we caution people about trying to do one-way tickets or to change airlines on the way home or do some kind of razzmatazz where you've got two different tickets, because the airlines in many cases won't recognize that you have those two flights. And if your flight were to get canceled or something like that, or you get, let's say your first flight gets delayed, the airline doesn't know that you have a second flight. So they don't consider you a connecting passenger. They just consider you a passenger. So you have to be careful sometimes when we try to outthink the airlines, and sometimes you can do it and game the system a little bit, but be very careful for those of you out there. And Tom, I'm glad you brought this up because you're kind of a semi-pro travel guy, and you were trying to do something that was kind of out there a little bit, and we pointed out the fact that it was probably not something that you would want to attempt. But Tom, people try to do these things all the time, and then they blame somebody else when it doesn't work out. So it's if you're going to try to do the hocus pocus or the razzmatazz with the airlines, make sure you talk to somebody like Gwen Duncan or myself or somebody who can explain to you whether or not you actually have a chance to get away with it and you're not just setting yourself up for a disaster.
Well, all right. Well, there you go. You made me a smarter traveler. There's no doubt about it. We are the Travel Guys, and that wraps up our Memorial Day weekend Travel Guys radio show. You have a wonderful Memorial Day tomorrow. Mark, you have a safe trip back home, okay?
I'll do it. And you remember to dance like nobody's watching.
Stay well, my friends.